we're wrapping up our series, Navigating Life's Transitions. Now, we're not wrapping up navigating life's transitions because that's part of life for the rest of your life. But we are wrapping up this series. In Joshua chapter 1, we talked about the fact that God will never leave you, never forsake you. As you prepare for the transitions of life, God's presence will be with you, that God will walk with you through whatever you're going through. And then in Joshua chapter 3, we talked about the transition of crossing this Jordan, that God takes you from where you are to where he wants you to be, and he crosses you with this amazing experience of his presence and his provision. And then the children of Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground, entering the land flowing with milk and honey. Then in Joshua chapter 6, we learn that the land flowing with milk and honey includes bees, that it is a land of conquest. Even when you come into the promised land, you still have to depend upon God, and that God fights your battles for you, and you walk with God, and there are things that God wants you to overcome, things that God wants you to persevere through, and you have to keep walking with God. Now we're going to transition many chapters forward and come to the end of the book of Joshua, if you'll join me, in Joshua chapter 24. Whenever we moved here 12 and a half years ago, I had the privilege of getting to meet Dr. John Bassanio. I grew up knowing about him. I read his books whenever I became a preacher, and my mama even had shared with me that he was in our home whenever he came to town to do a crusade before I was born, and just how God had been working through his life in such a great way. And so when I moved here 12 and a half years ago, I got to meet John Bassanio, and we invited him to lead our impact campaign whenever we built three buildings simultaneously our first year here at our Champions campus. And so I was hosting Dr. Bassanio, and we went out to eat several times just to spend time together, to kind of build the campaign and to spend time together. And I basically got to sit at his feet and just learn from him as he invested in us, as he just poured into me. And I just got to listen and glean from his wisdom. Such a great man of God. What's so interesting is I was reading the book by Steve Farrar, Finishing Strong. And in the opening of the book, he talks about John Bassanio when he was starting out in ministry, and how John went to his future father-in-law's home to have dinner with a family. And of course, the one he was dating, Aldine, was there, and they had a family dinner. Then after dinner, John goes out on the porch with Dr. Paul Beck, who also is in ministry. It's Aldine's dad. And there they just had a really good connect time. And it was there that Dr. Beck just spoke into John's life. And here's what he said. He said, "John, as you get ready to enter the ministry, I want to give you some advice. Stay true to Jesus. Make sure that you keep your heart close to Jesus every day. And then listen to this. It's a long way from here to where you're going to go, and Satan's in no hurry to get you." I want you to think about that. Satan's in no hurry to get you. And what I've been wrestling with, is it possible to finish strong? Is it possible to finish strong when we live in such a dark and decaying world, when we have Satan as our enemy, we have the world's current coming against us, and then we battle our own flesh? Is it possible to finish strong? Is it really possible to leave a legacy? Well, I can say to you, according to God's word and many men and women of God, it is possible to finish strong. And it is possible to leave a legacy. In fact, we're going to learn how here in Joshua chapter 24. So let's open God's word to explore essentials to leaving a legacy. Essentials to leaving a legacy. How can you finish strong? Here's essential number one, if you'll write it in your notes. Review your spiritual markers. Review your spiritual markers. Now remember, a spiritual marker allows you to trace God's faithfulness. So often in life, you get distracted by life. And sometimes you can go through a difficult season where you don't see the blessings of God. That you're so distracted by life or so distracted by the circumstances that you bypass all the blessings God has bestowed upon you and all the blessings God has lavished on you, you suspend. and they're out of view. And that's one reason why it's so important to review your spiritual markers, because it's a reminder of God's faithfulness. Now look with me in chapter 24, verse 13. Where God reminded them, this is Joshua pulling the people of Israel together. He says, I gave you a land on which you had not labored, and cities that you had not built, and you dwell in them. You eat the fruit of vineyards and olive orchards that you did not plant. Now, Joshua is near the end of his life. This is 10 to 20 years after all the conquest. So he's gathering the nation together to impart incredible wisdom and discernment and to give them God's word. And he's reminding them of all that God had done to bring them to this point of inheriting the promised land. All that God had blessed them with, and then reminded them that God had given them land on which they had not labored, cities they had not built, and they're getting to dwell in them. They're getting to partake of the land, even though they didn't plant, they didn't sow, they're able to reap. It's spiritual markers that God has planted in their path. And Joshua's reminding them to review those spiritual markers, to be reminded of the blessings of God. So often in life, when you go through a difficult season and you get to a level where there's pain in your life, it's as though pain becomes the focus, right? And you just want to get through the pain. You want to overcome the obstacle. And you want to just get through this season that you're in. And if you're not careful, you'll get so fixated on the pain that you'll bypass all the blessings of God. And that's why it's so important to review your spiritual markers. A good activity would be for you literally just to write down your spiritual markers. I did this a couple weeks ago, and I do this often just to revisit what God has done in my life. And I think about my salvation. And the pain that led me into salvation was the pain of my parents' divorce. So as I was navigating that pain, it was through the pain of divorce that God led me to search for a father who would never let me down. And then on March 28, 1979 is when I became a follower of Jesus Christ. So God used pain to guide me to embrace him as my heavenly father. I think about my call to ministry at age 16 and how God had to use a jet ski accident to get my undivided attention so I'd be flat on my back and look up to him. And it's on the very night that the doctors told my family he won't make it through the night. It was that night that God called me to preach. A spiritual marker. When Tanya and I met and started dating and then we got married, coming up on 29 years ago, when I look back at our wedding altar, that marriage event, when I look back at us exchanging vows and committing our lives to each other and coming into covenant relationship before God with each other, major spiritual marker. And then when Tori was born, when Austin was born, major spiritual markers, holding my own flesh and blood and overwhelmed with the awesome responsibility that I need to be a godly man to live before my children. And just the weight of modeling Christ before them, the weight of letting them grow up in a sin-infested culture, and for them to become fully devoted followers of Christ. Major spiritual markers, their salvation. When I had the privilege of baptizing Tori and baptizing Austin and just seeing them flourish in their walk with God. When I think about the pastorates that I've had, the different churches God has called me to pastor, and when God called me to Champion Forest 12 and a half years ago to be the executive pastor, and for the past almost 6 years to be the lead pastor of our North Klein campus, what a treasure. Just all these spiritual markers. And I want you to write yours down. Where have you seen God at work? Where are those moments in your life that had God not come through, it had been over for you? Major spiritual markers. Here's essential number two. Establish your flag on the moon. Establish your flag on the moon. Now I'm going to have to explain that one. Where is that in the Bible? Well, if you'll write this phrase down, here's what I mean by that. Declare your decision to serve the Lord. Declare your decision to serve the Lord. When God called me to preach at age 16, I was a junior in high school. One of my good buddies even picked on me and said, "So you going to be the next pope?" And I was like, "No, I'm going to be a Baptist minister. It's a different process." As I embraced the way to prepare for ministry, at age 16, I remember establishing the flag and the moon. That I felt strongly that God wanted me to get my doctorate by age 30. And I established that flag and the moon. I wrote it down in my journal that I believe God wants me to get my doctorate by age 30. And listen, it's a long way between age 16 and age 30. When you're 16, you think people who are 30 are old. It's a long journey. And God had to bring everything together at the right moment. I really wasn't a good student. And then God brought Tanya into my life, and I went from making so-so grades or no-so grades to making straight A's. Thank God for a godly wife who believes in studying. And she just taught me to study. And it's amazing how my grades went up when I started studying. 4 months, 4 months before I graduated, 4 months before I turned 30, I was robed with a doctor's hood. It's in my office, not to show that I have my doctorate, but to show a major spiritual marker in my life where I established a flag on the moon. Now, here's where we see this in Scripture. Look with me, Joshua 24, 14. Even before Joshua knew about a flag and a moon, he made a bold declaration. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity." That means to be unmixed. It means to be authentic. "And in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Look at verse 15. "And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your fathers served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Here it is. He's establishing the flag on the moon. He's declaring with boldness, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Would you say that with me? "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Establish your flag on the moon. This week I came across a quote that I thought was very apropos for this moment. "You were not born a winner. You were not born a loser. You were born a chooser." God has given you the capacity to choose to serve Him, to choose to revere Him, to choose to honor Him. You can leave a legacy as you establish your flag on the moon. Here's the essential number three to leaving a legacy. You ready for it? Demonstrate your daily devotional. Demonstrate your daily devotion. Jesus said, "If you were to come after me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." In the Gospel of Luke, it says, daily. And what you'll discover about the Christian life is a Christian life is so daily, that your journey with God is so daily. And that's why Jesus said, "I'm your daily bread." Not your weekly bread, not your monthly bread, not your quarterly bread, not your annual bread. Your daily bread. Why? Because the Christian life is so daily. And you can leave a legacy as you demonstrate your daily devotion. Now, let me give you some action steps to plug in for that. Now, first of all, demonstrate your daily devotion by eliminating idols. By eliminating idols. Whatever's between you and God is an idol. And it doesn't only mean something sinful and something you need to stay away from. It could be a good thing. Good things can become idols. Did you know that a family member can become an idol? That a mate can become an idol? That your work can become an idol? That a sport can become your idol? A team can become an idol? Which we had many good games on yesterday, right? Amazing games on yesterday. And some that we felt they should have won, but they didn't. And we're still pulling for them because it's only game one. We've got room to grow. We're still in it, right? But even good things can become idols in your life. Debbie Benningfield, who was the first person we baptized at our North Klein portable location, our first person to baptize in our portable baptistry. Now we have this beautiful, permanent, warm, incredible baptistry. But Debbie was our first person to be baptized at North Klein, and she is like a scientist, a fingerprint expert that travels globally to train others. And then she also is just supersonic creative, and she can bake anything, make anything. And a couple of weeks ago, she asked if there was anything I was desiring in the sweet world. I have a sweet tooth beyond measure. It's just one of my primary love languages at Dr. Gary Chapman. It's love language number six, sweets. And I said, well, you know, I haven't had an Almond Joy pie in a while, and they're hard to make. And she said, I'll take care of you, Pastor. And she did. And when she brought it to the office, I was on my way out to go to a meeting, so I didn't get to have the moment. And then whenever I was coming back later that evening, I thought I'd drop by, and I called my sister. She said, it's in the refrigerator. It's got a note on it. And here's what the note said. Do not eat this treat, Dr. Trammell. So I brought it home. And I want you to know, I have enjoyed every little triangular piece in the pie, and there's one left. Perhaps someone would get it today. Now, I'm excited about that, and I'm pretty passionate about that, and I kind of hide it because I'm guarded about it. But if I'm not careful, sweets can become an idol in my own life. And I have to watch that. I have to guard that. Something good can become an idol. It's whatever becomes between you and God. Look at verse 23. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you. Now, why would Joshua say that to the people? Put away the foreign gods that are among you. Remember, the previous generation was delivered from Egypt. They come into the wilderness, and then they wander for 40 years. A generation dies off. The next generation is raised up, and then they cross the Jordan to enter the promised land. And now Joshua says to them, put away the foreign gods that are among you. What he's identifying is that though you get delivered out of Egypt, you still have to get Egypt out of you. That it's a challenge to stay clean while living in a dirty world. Being Christian in an anti-Christian culture. So you eliminate idols. And an idol is anything hindering your love relationship with God. So what idols need to be eliminated from your life? What is it in your life that you know hinders your love relationship with God? What is it in your life that you know you need to confess before the Lord and just plead the blood of Jesus over that and turn away from that? In Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, I love this testimony. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you. And here it is, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And I wish I could say to you this morning, as your shepherd, that's a one-time experience. You just turn to God from idols one time in your life, you'll be good to go. No, it's a daily experience. Moment by moment, turning to God from idols. I love how Dr. Adrian Rogers used to say it. He said, before Christ, I was running from Jesus to sin. Now I'm running from sin to Jesus. Never stop running to Jesus. And never stop running from sin. That's how you demonstrate your devotion, by eliminating idols. Also, you demonstrate your daily devotion by surrendering to the Lordship of Christ. Surrendering to the Lordship of Christ. One day we'll do a series on Lordship. It's such a powerful concept. When you surrender to the Lordship of Christ, it means you give Jesus full reign to your life. He's not the co-pilot, he's the pilot. He's the CEO of your life, and you're surrendering to his lordship. Look at verse 23, the second part, where Joshua says to the people, and incline your heart to the Lord, the God of Israel. Remember, whatever gets your heart gets you. And when you incline your heart to the Lord, it means you're giving the Lord your heart, your devotion. You're giving the Lord your allegiance, and you're surrendering to his lordship as you give him your heart in moment by moment surrender. Whatever gets your heart gets you. If you'll write down Romans 13:14, a great verse, very practical. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. You want to talk about a bold commitment to stay clean while living in a dirty world? If you want to make a bold commitment to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. When Jesus is Lord of my life, it means he has full reign in every area of my life. And it means I'm fully yielded to his prompting. Let me give you another phrase. Demonstrate your daily devotion by focusing your passion. By focusing your passion. Everybody is passionate about something or someone. You've got passion. There's something that makes you come alive. There's something you love to give your life to. There's something that just gets the juices flowing in your life, gets the octane up, and you get excited and you get delighted and you come alive. And what God's word teaches us is God wants our passion to be devoted to him and focused on him. And it's okay to be passionate about other things and glorify God through other things in this life and give your best. But be sure to focus your passion on him. Look at verse 24. And the people said to Joshua, "The Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey." Often as a pastor, I'm asked, how do you fill your own tank? How do you stay full because you're constantly pouring your life into other people? You're constantly investing in others. You're meeting with others. You're constantly giving your life away. And that is true. So I have to be super intentional to pour in because I'm pouring out every single day. And so I value most my daily intimacy with God. And I have a routine that I follow every morning with my standing meeting with God. The most important meeting of my day is my time alone with the Lord. And I'll share that with you in detail one day in a message. And everything in my life flows out of that love relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important moment of my day, is that time alone with the Lord. And then everything flows from that reality. I also love to read. So I don't get to read often, so I just have to just have chunks of time here. Read here, read here. If I'm waiting on something, I'm always have something to read if I'm waiting. And so I'm making that investment in that deposit while I'm waiting. When I'm not on the phone, which is often driving, I'm listening to a podcast. Or when I'm not swimming laps and I'm working out with weights, I'm listening to a podcast. I'm always having someone invest and pour into me as I'm doing life. And have godly people that I surround myself with and spend time with. And I ask lots of questions when I'm with people because I want to get to know people. But I'm also, they're pouring into me. I'm gleaning from their life and their wisdom. And it's very intentional to grow so that I can focus my passion in the right direction. I was listening to Charles Stanley last week. Just a video clip of him speaking at Dallas Theological Seminary Chapel. 84 years old, and here's what he says after all of his years of ministry at First Baptist Atlanta. Here's what he says to the students. If there's one thing I could say to you after all these years of ministry, here's what he said. And Dr. Stanley said, "Obey God and leave the consequences to him." Obey God and leave the consequences to him. Isn't that a good word? And then demonstrate your daily devotion by inviting others into the journey. Invite others into the journey. The Christian life is not a solo fight. It is not a solo flight. You're to invite other people into the journey. I want you to see how Joshua did this. Remember, Moses invested in Joshua. Moses allowed Joshua to shadow him. Joshua was Moses' protege. So he was a Timothy to this Paul. He was a Joshua to this Moses. He was a Ruth to this Naomi. And Moses invested in Joshua. Now, if Joshua is investing in other people, are you handing down the faith? Are you investing in the next generation? Are you reaching down to other people to pour into them? What does it look like? Look at verse 29. We're at the end of the chapter. Verse 29 of Joshua 24, "After these things, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died being 110 years young. And they buried him in his own inheritance at Timnath-serah, which is in the hill country of Ephraim, north of the mountain of Gaash. Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua, And notice, in all the days of the elders, here's a key phrase, I have it underlined, who outlived Joshua and had known all the work that the Lord did for Israel. So navigating life's transitions includes handing down your faith to the next generation of world changers. And you've heard me say this before. I want you to lean into it. Your greatest contribution in this life may not be what you contribute to this life personally, but the person you invest in who will one day stand on your shoulders and go beyond you, even after you're gone. That person may be your greatest contribution to the kingdom of God. The person that you invested in, the person that you served, the person that you added value to. Tomorrow at 2 o'clock, I'll be preaching a funeral for a great man of God in our church, Mr. Buddy Parker. He and his wife, Barbara, are from Louisiana. They've been connected to Champion Forest for many years and just solid church members, and he just walked with God in such a sweet way. He's a big LSU Tiger fan, so tomorrow I'm going to be wearing a nice purple tie in his honor, and it'll be a privilege. And one thing I'm going to share tomorrow out of Hebrews chapter 11, a key phrase where it says of those, they were still living by faith when they died. And that is true of Mr. Buddy Parker. He was still living by faith when he died. And then I'm going to share this poem. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears, but he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth, and now only those who love her know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and real and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat others with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So, when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about you and how you spent your dash? Would you pray with me? Every head bowed and eyes closed. I just want to give you a moment to be alone with God. And I want you to think about your life. You can leave a legacy by living a legacy. And you have to be intentional. Very intentional. It doesn't happen by accident. You live your life with intentionality. You leave a legacy by living a legacy. And the first step is to be adopted into God's forever family. For your life to have eternal impact. For you to finish strong. For you to still be living by faith when you die, you have to begin now by placing your faith in Jesus alone for salvation, turning from sin and trusting in Jesus to be saved. And the Bible says if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and you believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Today is your day. And we're going to help you with that decision. I'm going to invite our prayer partners to come to the baptistry area here under the cross. They're going to just be standing along the wall, available to you right after the service. And if you'd like to come to faith in Christ, have the assurance of heaven and eternal life, I'm going to invite you to come to one of our prayer partners. And they will share with you how you can become a child of God, how you can be adopted into God's forever family this morning. And I made that decision on March 28, 1979, and it changed my forever. It can change your forever. To leave a legacy, you must live a legacy. To every believer in the room, every child of God, personally, what adjustments do you need to make in your life? As I seek the Lord about adjustments He wants me to make in my life, to fully surrender to His Lordship, to really demonstrate my devotion, are there any idols in your life? Are there any areas of your life that just need to be surrendered to Him? Any idols that you need to eliminate? We battle those daily. It's an ongoing battle, and it's every person's battle. Eliminating idols, demonstrating your devotion, surrendering to the Lordship of Christ. Maybe for you it's just refocusing your passion. Maybe your passion has been diverted, and God just wants you to bring it back to Him. Would you let the Lord have His way in your life this morning? Just surrender to His Lordship and leadership and say, Lord, have Your way in me. Lord, I'm Yours. Have Your way in me. Be intentional. Leave a legacy by living a legacy. And let's finish strong. And Father, that's our prayer, that You would have Your way in our lives. Lord, thank You for paving the way for us to come into relationship with You, to be reconciled to You, a holy God, righteous. And Lord, we're so unworthy. Jesus, thank You for living a sinless life and dying a sacrificial death to build the ultimate love bridge, to fill this amazing Grand Canyon gap between the righteousness of God and our sinfulness. Thank You for building the bridge and paving the way with Your grace and mercy so that we could come to know You as Lord and Savior and not only be saved, but reconciled to our holy God, and live a life of purpose and meaning and significance, and then raising up the next generation of world changers. Use us as You see fit. And that's our prayer. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen and amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.